Today we're going to talk about an important topic. You know, how we can keep this fire burning in our lives, but it's more of a different kind of topic. Today's topic is on forgiveness. I was going to do something else, but the Lord said, "Go ahead with this." Forgiveness and good works. I'm going to be talking about that today. Forgiveness and good works. I was going to call it something else, but the Lord said, call it this as well. You know, God wants us to be careful to maintain good works. Now, we know that it's not by works of righteousness, which we do, by which we are saved. We are not saved by good works. But after we are saved, we must be careful to maintain good works. So I'm going to be speaking about that today. And I'm going to show some example of, you know, the good works that some people did that came back to them in many different ways, even to others as well, you know, that received a blessing because of what they did. Hallelujah. So let's consider first the subject of forgiveness. You know, there is this thing that I was initially going to title this room, Pay It Forward, and I was going to give two sides of it. But there is this thing about paying it forward. In other words, when you receive, it's a concept of when you receive an act of kindness, you know, from somewhere, and instead of you paying that back, you also give the same act of kindness to others. You know, so let's pick up a story. It's very important that we learn it, but I want to bring in the aspect of forgiveness. It's the same thing about, you know, not paying it forward, but I want to bring it from the aspect of forgiveness, because forgiveness is so key. And unforgiveness will keep a lot of people out of the kingdom. It will make a lot of people miss the rapture. Unforgiveness. So let's talk about that today, because we're preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. When you carry this bitterness and this unforgiveness in your heart, it might make you miss the day. So this is so key. So let's pick the story from Matthew chapter 18. In this chapter, you know, they're asking the Lord, well, you know, what, how many times do I need to forgive my brother and all of these things? You know, he does something to me, you know, and how many times I got to forgive him? I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, people like to be smart with the Lord and everything, you know. So, and it's like another man that said, well, you know, who then is my neighbor? You know, I mean, people like to be smart with the Lord when the Lord is saying these things. But, and sometimes it's just genuine questions. They, you know, they just want to know. You know, so they don't, you know, so here's like, let's pick it up from verse 21. Peter, he came to the Lord and said, well, how often shall I, my brother sin against me and forgive him? Seven times? Well, this is a good question. You know, I mean, if somebody does something repeatedly to you seven times, I mean, by then, you probably had it up to here. You know, so Peter is like, look, I mean, seven times, they keep doing this thing to me. And Jesus said, no, I say not unto thee. This is Matthew 18 and 22. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. Well, maybe if Peter had said five times, maybe God would, maybe Jesus would have said about 50 times five. I don't know. But in any case, he blows it out here and say not even seven times, but 70 times seven times. So he's going to tell a story, Jesus will, to illustrate this point. He said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Now Jesus telling this story. And when he says a certain king, it means there was actually a certain king. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and that payment should be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Now, take note of that. This man owed a lot of money, and he just could not pay it. His master said, well, sell him, grab all his family, put them all for bondmen and everything like that. You know, sell them into slavery, sell all his stuff, and pay the debt. And he begged, said, look, you know, I know I acknowledge my debt. Just give me time. I will pay. He begged. And the man had compassion on him. And he set him free. And he actually, not only did he set him free, he forgave him the debt. By that time, they already got him rounded up. Probably put handcuffs on him already. But it wasn't just, you know, turning him loose. He actually forgave him the debt. 10,000 talents that he didn't need to pay. Now, that's a lot of money. Yeah, that's a lot of money. Because those were talents of gold. They weighed a lot of silver. You know, so, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's like, you know, 1/100th of a talent. So, I mean, just imagine. And he owed 10,000 of the, you know, that. And this one owed him like 1/100th of a talent. My goodness. So he found his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same prayer that he had prayed. You know, same asking for time and asking for mercy and grace that this same man had also prayed. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison that he should pay all, until he should pay all. Now, yeah, let's consider that for a minute. When the man couldn't pay when he was free to work for it, how is he going to pay when he's in prison? I mean, even here in the United States, people who are in prison, even when they allow them to work, I mean, they are so grossly underpaid, you know, that, I mean, they could not even make anything out of it. It's like just a token. You know, they don't even get anything close to minimum wage. So how is he going to pay when he's in prison? Now, when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and sad. So they came and told the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, he called that wicked servant. Here's what he said to him. Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because thou desirest of me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. Now, remember, this man was already forgiven, but he did not pay it forward. You know, this is, he already received kindness, but he did not show that same act of kindness to somebody else. And the Lord said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father. Now, if you have never read this story all the way to this last verse, consider this last verse today. Some people think that this is actually not possible because they are smarter than the Lord. They try to take words out of the Bible. But Jesus said, look, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That means you might have once been forgiven, but, you know, that may be rescinded, and you might be given over to the tormentors. You know, so we got to wonder sometimes why, you know, if things are not working right, maybe there's unforgiveness. If there is torment, maybe there's unforgiveness. Because this man was handed over to the tormentors, because he could not pay forward the same blessing that he had received, the same grace that was extended to him, he could not extend it to others. Now, this is a story on forgiveness, but it's also on paying it forward. Because remember, Jesus was answering a question about forgiveness. So it was indeed a story about forgiveness. And the Lord gave us this instruction here that we should forgive. We should forgive. If we don't forgive, this thing is going to come and bite us. There are people that are carrying hurt and unforgiveness around today. Believers, God has forgiven you, but you cannot forgive somebody else. So, you know, it is going to be a sad, sad day if after we've done everything that we thought we could do, you know, on the day of reckoning, the Lord pulls out the scripts and says, well, you did not forgive. You know, therefore, you know, remember I said unto you, so shall my heavenly Father do to you if you do not forgive. You know, so he'll bring back all these words. You know, Jesus said to them, look, the words that I speak to you, they will judge you on that day. So everything that God already said, they're going to come back and be the judge if we are not careful. So it is imperative that we forgive. So important. Now, if you do not forgive, in this story, this man that did could not forgive, it was even the forgiveness that he had received was turned backwards. Now, we're talking about prayer fire. Let's look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Now, the preceding verses to Mark 11, Jesus was talking about faith that can move mountains. You know, you can speak to the mountain, and if you do not doubt it, and you believe with all your heart of what you said, he said the mountain will obey you. Now, and he said all those things, and they are so powerful. And we focus on the power of that spoken word many times. We focus on the gift of faith that can move mountains. Well, that's all good. And Jesus wants us to have that. And he told them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, this is Mark 11 and 23, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, he was looking at some mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, you know, believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, glory to God. That's whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, at the time you pray, is when you believe, and you shall have them. But he went on. Now, if you stop there and you don't read the next verse, which is what a lot of us do, we stop at that power. We stop at the releasing of this spoken word, the power to move mountains and all do all these things and get anything we want from God. And that's good. But Jesus dropped down here and said, and when you stand praying, now today we're talking about prayer fire. How to get your prayer to actually be more effective. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. You know, this is so key, and many of us overlook it. We just gloss over it. You know, Jesus, he was teaching the disciples. They said, teach us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. And then when Jesus, you know, he said, look, when you pray, enter into your closet. Don't be like the hypocrites and so on and so forth. You know, don't use vain repetition. He told them all these things. He said, but after this manner, pray. And this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After, Jesus didn't say we should be reciting this prayer. Some people recite it and that's all they know how to pray. Just recite this prayer. It was a template. It was a pattern. First part of the prayer is to come before his presence and bless his name. And he wanted us to address God as our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, since we also forgive our debtors as well. As we also forgive, you know. So as you forgive, since you are forgiving others, God is forgiving. If you don't, it will be counting against you. So forgiveness is so key. Now, there are many, many scriptures that tell us this. But I don't want to dwell too much on it. I want to go to the good works part. But it is so important that we learn this act of forgiveness. We need to learn the act of forgiveness. Because the Lord has forgiven us, and we must forgive others. Did you know that this unforgiveness, it eats away at people like a cancer? You know, people just be bitter. They carry the unforgiveness away, you know, along with their lives all the time. And listen, you know, people can be so unforgiving. They start having, you know, ulcers and different things. And it's like poison in the system, you know, because it's contrary to the nature of God. The Spirit of God, which he has given us, you know, is at contrariness against unforgiveness. The very story of salvation is premised on God's forgiveness, that God would forgive us of our sins. Jesus paid the price, you know, and if Jesus paid that price for us, I mean, you can never pay the price for sin. It's like this story of the 10,000 talents versus one penny, you know, 100 pence or whatever. You know, this thing Christ had done for us, we can't put a price to it. And he wants you to go ahead. You can't pay him back. So he wants you to pay it forward to somebody else. What he already done for us, he wants you to do it for somebody else. Now, this is so important. Remember also Colossians, you know, chapter 3, verse 13 tells you, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, these commandments are all over the scriptures. Forgiveness. Even in marriage, some people cannot forgive. If you can't forgive, well, I mean, the only way that your marriage is going to stay intact, there must be forgiveness. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, a person should take advantage of that. It's kind of like this, forgives 490 times, 70 times, 7 times. You know, so, you know, Jesus said, look, offenses must needs come, but woe unto the man through whom he comes. If you say, well, my brother must forgive him. Well, my husband must forgive him. Well, my wife must forgive him. And then you keep doing the same thing. Well, that already shows right there that that's a reprobate spirit. You know, so, but on your part, you must forgive. If you can't forgive, relationships cannot last. Marriages cannot last. Because there's going to be plenty of things that will need forgiveness. You know, every day you got to forgive and move on. And not only forgive, you cannot harbor that bitterness. The root of bitterness, the scripture says, when it springs up in you, it'll trouble you. So we got to get rid of it. Got to get it out of there. Now, it is so important for us, this lesson today. Now, but having said that, let me switch a little bit and talk about, because there are two things I want to talk about today. I want to talk about good works. You know, good works. Many people don't think anything of it because we all know that we cannot be saved by our good works. And so because of that, a lot of believers don't think good of, they don't think anything about good works. But let me prove to you today that the Bible is full of instructions about good works. And I am going to give you so many scriptures, and we're going to talk about so many examples today of people whose good works brought tremendous blessing either to themselves later or to somebody else because of what they did. So that's another aspect, you know, of, you know, God's book of remembrance. He's got everything in there, you know, and what you've done before, which is kind of like paying it forward, will come back, you know, to you. Every good thing that we do will eventually come back one way or another. It might come back directly or in kind, but it will. That concept is developed in Galatians chapter 6. You know, we can read verses 7 to 9. This is the concept of what we sow is what we shall reap. Be not deceived, he says. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, and then he goes on to say, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we'll talk about this the other day, we shall reap if we faint not. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. As you have opportunity, do good unto all men. Now let's consider many scriptures. Well, this particular scripture reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 27 and 28. He said, withhold not anything from somebody, any good that you can do when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Don't withhold the good when you can do it. It's when it's already in your power. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give you, when you already have it. So that's Proverbs 3, 27 and 28. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do. Now, what are good works? Well, let's read the life of Jesus himself, the master. What he said. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. That incredible so-called Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gave a lot of precepts. He said in Matthew 5 and 16, let your light do, therefore, so shall. Before he got there, you can read verses 13 and 14 to give you some context. He was talking about, you know, we being the salt of the earth and we being the light of the world and all of that, you know. And then he finally said, well, let your light, therefore, so shine. Because he'd been telling them that you can't light a candle and put it under the bushel. Let your light so shine, therefore, before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. What then are these good works? Well, let's get to it today. Because if Jesus can say it this way, that you should let your light shine, your light should shine upon your good works. Do you know that Jesus also said that people who do evil things, they don't like to come to the light? But people who do good things, they come to the light, you know, so that the light may shine upon their works. How God himself, Acts 10 verse 38, how God himself anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. This was Peter speaking in the house of Cornelius. We're going to come to Cornelius in a minute. How God anointed Christ Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. That's right. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we see that the doing good was different from the healing, because, you know, he said and. So it was doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And what was the good that Jesus was doing? Because we need to see what Jesus was doing so that we could do the same. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, so those were two different aspects of his ministry. He was doing good and he was delivering people from the power of Satan. So then what then was his doing good? What was the act of kindness that he was doing? Well, a lot all over the Gospels. I mean, it's all there. How Jesus used to have compassion on people. Compassion on somebody whose child died. Compassion on somebody who needed their eyes to be opened. And all of these things and so forth. Good works. And even feeding the multitudes when they were hungry. All these things that he did. But let us talk about, you know, people like us. Because you may say, well, that's Jesus. Well, let's talk about people like us. What kind of good works did Jesus himself talk about? This is an important lesson. In Matthew chapter 25, there is a story that Jesus told. It's not exactly a parable. This one from Matthew 25 verse 31. It's not a parable. He just said it that as it is, that that's what's going to happen. There are sometimes he talks about some parables and sometimes he just talks about some other things that are going to happen. This one is not a parable. He just said it. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, Matthew 25 and 31. So this is not a parable. Jesus is just saying, this is what's going to happen. When he shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and he shall sit on the throne of his glory, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. This is not a parable. And he shall say, you know, he shall set the sheep on his right hand, you know, but the goats on his left. We talked about right hand yesterday. And then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Now, Jesus is the king. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, oh, hold on now. When did we see you? We never saw you. You were there thousands of years before. I mean, it's like us now. You know, I've never seen Jesus in the flesh. You know, so, I mean, for you did this. How could I? I've never seen you. You know, and they say, how did we see you? When did we see you hungry that we fed you and gave you thirsty and gave you drink? When did you see you as a stranger and we brought you in, or naked and we clothed you? I mean, when were you sick or in prison that we visited you? No such thing happened. And the king shall answer them and say, verily I say, and every time Jesus say verily, not truly, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done this, and these are good works. These are just plain old good works. Inasmuch as you have done good works, done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. My goodness. So, and Jesus wasn't talking about, he didn't talk about you healed and sick here. He didn't talk about you told them, give your life to Christ? He didn't say any such thing. He just said, look, I was sick, you visited me. I did this and that. You know, these are good works. And there are rewards for it. And then he would turn around, he would turn around and say to the others on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, because, you know, prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry, you gave me no meat. This is the reverse of everything that he said to the other group. I was hungry, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you know, you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not. And they likewise will say unto him, come on now. He said, hold on. If we would have seen you, naked, we see the Lord naked, I would have clothed you. If I would have, Jesus said, yeah, because you didn't do it to the others, to people for which you had opportunity, then you didn't do it to me. So this is very important, folks. And these are good works, you know, that he's pointing out here. Now, these are rewards. You know, there's a great mystery behind this thing that people don't understand. This is not salvation. This is rewards for good works. And here's what we are told for even believers. You know, we need to be careful to maintain good works. Titus chapter 3. Let's read verses 8 and verse 14. Because people forget that we should do good works. You know, just because you are saved, you know, and then we just be so pious and everything. No. This is a faithful saying. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, just like I'm telling you today, that they which have believed in God, they're already believers, should be careful to maintain good works. Now, these things are good and profitable unto men. Now, we're not saved by our good works. We know that. You know, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We know that. But by his mercy, he saved us. And then he went on to in verse 14 here and says, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. So good works is kind of like being fruitful. That's good works. If we are not doing good works, we may be unfruitful. You know, Jesus said, look, a tree, I am the vine, you are the branches. A branch in me that's not bearing fruit, maybe. Some of that could be good works. You know, they will be eventually cut off. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is part of the things that God designed for us as believers in Christ to be. It's very powerful. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, one of the primary good works is that we should believe on him whom he has sent. We know that. Because somebody came to Christ and said, what might I do that I might walk the works of God? Jesus said, well, believe on him whom he has sent. But then we're also talking about good works in the natural. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read verse 24. Good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He's talking to believers. Now, these people are already saved. But, you know, let's, you know, encourage one another to do good works. And we're going to see some more of these good works thing in a little bit. Why is this so important? And why are there so much emphasis on it in the Bible about good works? But yet people don't pay attention to it. They just think it doesn't matter. You know. So as we're going through this, if you haven't already shared the room, share the room. Because we need people also to hear this. Share it on your hallway. Let people know that you are here. You know, and share it to your friends. Let us all come and hear this. Because this is so important. Now, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's read verses 9 to 10. even hear certain good works, the benefits of good works. I want to begin to get into that now. The benefits of good works. Remember, we ourselves have received a really good work from the Lord. He said, God who began the good work in you will perfect it on the day of Christ. We got a really good work. So we got to pay for it. We got to be doing good works to others. Now, he says here, let not a widow, taking any number, if they are under 70 years old, of being a wife, wife of one man, well reported of good works. If she had brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, and if she had diligently followed every good work, then take care of her. That's what they're saying here. But the younger widows, when they begin to want, they will do other things. But look at the good works that spoke for these widows. All the things that they've done. Washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted. Washing feet was important in those days. It's not so much important these days, But because in those days, they traveled on foot most of the time, and it was a culture. When you travel on foot, your dust and everything, when you come in, you take off your sandals, which is all they wore in those days. And they were open sandals. You take off your feet. And they used to have this lever of water that people can wash their feet before they come down. And they wash their hands and do all these things before they come down in the house to sit down to meal. And those who were really hospitable, when people came in like that, they would wash their feet for them. And they're supposed to wash their feet, their own feet. But, their guests in the home, their host will wash their feet because they're so hospitable like that. So they're saying that, look, if any widow has done all these things, then remember such. And they've done all these good works. And these are just plain old good works that they did. Washing the feet, relieving the poor, and doing all these things and so forth, that they have done, to people. Now, let's consider some of the benefits of good works. Let's read Ecclesiastes 11. And we're going to read the first couple of verses. Good works, and it's kind of like, look, you put this thing out there, whatever you sow shall come back to you. Cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, because you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. So it is important for us to do these things. If you cast your bread, if you give your bread away, say it will even come back to you. You'll find a way to get back to you. Whatever we do for the poor. When we do something for the poor, Proverbs 19 and 17 will tell you that. When we do something for the poor, it's like you're lending to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of you. So Proverbs 19 and verse 7 says, if you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and the Lord will most certainly, he will most certainly repay you. Because, if you do something which is a blessing that you gave away, right, in the name of the Lord, you do a good thing. It's like you did it for the Lord, and the Lord will repay you again. He that hath pity on the poor, lend it to the Lord, and that which you are giving, he will pay him again. So there are benefits. There are many benefits to, doing good works in the name of the Lord to the Lord. But let's read some stories in the Bible. Stories in the Bible. But, before I go to those stories, while I'm in the book of Proverbs here, let me read one more in Proverbs 11. Let's just read quickly verse 24 before we go into those other stories. Verses 24 and 25. There is that scattereth. This is somebody who likes to give away stuff, and yet he's increasing. And there is that withholdeth more than is necessary, and yet it tends to poverty. They are stingy. They just hold on to everything. Say, well, that might tend to poverty. But there's somebody that gives away And they, you know, yet they are increasing. Why? Because if you are a channel of blessing, God will always get it into your hands. If you can give it away, God will get it to you. That's why the person that's giving, you know, always gets more. But the person that's holding on to it, they're like a lake. They're not a channel. They're not flowing. There's nothing coming out of there. Receiving, they, after a while, they start to stink. The lake, you know, it tends to breed all kinds of algae and so forth because they're not dishing things out. But if you can be a channel of blessing, God will get it to you. The liberal soul shall be made fat, verse 25. And he that watereth shall himself be watered again. You'll be watered if you water. Now, these are some blessings of, you know, doing good. Now, let's read some stories of some people who did good in the Bible and how it came back either to them or to somebody down the generations. You know, this doing good is so key. And, you know, we need to follow these examples that the Bible is telling us. There are many stories. Let me talk for you to you first. I'll just pick them, not in any particular order, but I'll just pick the stories anyhow through the Bible. There was the story of Jonathan. All of us know the story of Jonathan, right? Jonathan was the son of Saul. And he loved David. He really liked David. And, you know, so he did a lot of good for David, saving David many times from his wicked father who wanted to kill David. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 19 and let's see what, you know, the background of these stories. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, let's read verse 17. This is part of the background, you know. Okay. Now, the background to the story is that Saul was always trying to kill David. So David was always running away for his life. You know, that's the background. You know, so as David was always running away for his life, always, you know, this man trying to kill him. Jonathan, we go to 1 Samuel 20. In Jonathan, 1 Samuel 20, verses 9 to 15, David is trying to get favor from Jonathan. He said, look, he said to Jonathan, you know, let me do this, let me do that. You know, your father will miss me at meal, but let me go. Let me hide myself. You know, you can read that from verse 5. And if thy father miss me at all, 1 Samuel 20, verse 5 and verse 6, you know, David, you know, said, look, you just say to him that David has asked of me that he may go and do something, sacrifice in Bethlehem and so forth. But David was always trying to hide from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him, throw javelin at him and everything. But Jonathan, you know, he even said, look, I am going to do whatever I can to make sure that no evil comes to you from my father. I know, he said, that if evil were determined to come upon you, I will know it, and will I not tell you? So Jonathan made a pledge. You can read that in verse 9. And he said to, and David, you know, so then said David to Jonathan, who's going to tell me? How shall I know what your father will say, whether he's answered roughly or what? And Jonathan made a wager, he said, let's go out to the field. And he showed him, you know, how he's going to bring somebody there, tell them to throw something, you know, and to run after. And he just gave a path. I don't want to get too much into that story. In any case, the thing is, he saved David multiple times from his father's wickedness, trying to kill him. And even Saul said to him, look, I know that you're a foolish son. This David is going to take your place. And yet, why do you care for him? You know, he's going to be king instead of you. Why do you care for him? But all of that goodness that this man did, you know, to David. You know, anytime we do these things are in the book of remembrance, God's book of remembrance. Let's pick up this story in 2 Samuel. Now we are going to read chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. Now this is David now. He now has the throne and everything like that. So David is going to look for some good that he can do, you know, and he said, look, to the house of Saul because of Jonathan. It's not even because of Saul. It's because of Jonathan. So David said, is there yet any man that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? You know, and there was this man called Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who was the son of David. They said, yeah, there's this man, but he's lame on his feet. And so I said, go bring him. So they brought him. When this Mephibosheth came, he fell on his face and did David reverence. And, you know, and so, and David said, look, fear not, verse 7. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. You know, so this was, you know, they had killed all the sons of Saul except this one that was left, that was helped, and he escaped somehow. And David said to him, I will restore to you the land of Saul, your father, and you will eat bread at my table forever. That's it. This Mephibosheth, in one day, he was lame and rejected and forgotten. The only son of Saul left that wasn't killed. And nothing happening in his life. But what his father, Jonathan, had paid forward was now going to be a blessing to him. And David is also now going to do something for this Mephibosheth because of what Jonathan had done. So David, you know, gave commandments to his servants that they should restore all the land, the fruits of the land and everything to this Mephibosheth. And he gave commandment to his servant. He said, look, this man will sit at my table. He will eat at my table as one of the king's sons, you know, and all that. And this man ate bread continually at the king's table. Why? Because of what his father did. So some of the benefits of things we do, this is how they come back either to us or to somebody else down the line. There's this story of this woman called the Shunammite woman. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read from verses 8 to about 11, how this woman noticed that Elisha was a man of God. And every time he passed by, you know, she said, you know, come over here and eat. And so she was eating and everything. And he was eating and everything. So for one day she said to her husband, look, this man is a man of God. Let's make him a little room over here so he can study when he comes. So they made him a little room, table, lamp, everything. And they kept doing this thing until one day Elisha said, wait a minute. You know, all of these things that this woman is doing, what does she want? The woman said, I don't want anything. I dwell in the midst of my people. Should I speak to the king for you? He said, no, I don't need anything. I'm okay. And then Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, said to him, he said, look, yeah, she's saying all that, but she doesn't have a child. And Elisha said, aha! And then pronounces the word of the Lord to her. She gets it. Although she's saying, well, don't deceive me and so forth, because maybe people have told her that before and it didn't come to pass or whatever. And maybe she had a child. Maybe she was pregnant and she miscarried. I don't know. But she had never had a child. And so she had given up hope. But according to the word of the man of God, it eventually came to pass. Now, the same woman, afterwards, you read further down in that story, you go to about verse 33 of that same chapter. This same woman, you know, this child died. And she's the woman that had the story of it is well with my soul even when her son died. You might know that story. But eventually, her son that died was restored back to life because of what she, all the good that she had been doing. Let's take a story of Mordecai. Like I said, I'm just picking the stories, not in any particular order. In the book of Esther, chapter 2, Mordecai, verses 21 to 23, Mordecai got wind of some conspiracies, people who were trying to lie in wait to kill the king. You know, they were trying to kill the king, you know, assassinate him. So when he found that out, he reported it and saved the life of the king multiple times. And so this was Mordecai. He did that. So this is Esther chapter 2, you know, verses 21 to 23. He did that. So when many years later, one day in Esther chapter 6 and verse 1, one day the king could not sleep. Well, that was the angel of the Lord troubled him in his sleep, fixed him to do something for Mordecai. By this time, Haman is planning to kill them. So Mordecai is there. He had done these things. He didn't ask for anything. He just did it and went on his way. Maybe even forgotten. The king could not sleep. He asked them to bring the records of the Chronicles that he may read. And he found a place where Mordecai had told of those people who wanted to assassinate the king. You know, and they record, God, it was recorded. And he said, was there any honor and dignity done to this man for what is this thing is? I said, no, nothing is recorded in the books. So he begins to scheme how he is going to reward this man for the good he did. And you can read the rest of the story. You know, eventually God turned around and put the blessing, all of the blessing that, you know, any kind of blessing upon Mordecai because of what he had done. He even used his enemy, Haman, to pile all the blessings on him because Haman was in, we spoke on this when we called the divine appointments. Haman was there at the right time. And the king said, who's in the court? And Haman came in, said, look, if I want to bless somebody and promote somebody, what should I do? So Haman went on and on and on because he thought it was for him. And he served up that blessing to Mordecai. But it was because of something that Mordecai had done, which he had even forgotten. And moved on. Now, all the blessings that came to Solomon was because of what David had done. The Lord calls it the sure mercies of David. You know, we spoke on this when we did generational blessings. You can also read part of it in Psalm 89. Let's just read a few verses. In Psalm 89, we'll call it the sure mercies of David. Psalm 89, verses 20 to 24. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to paraphrase it. In this place, he says, you know, that the Lord is talking about, he has chosen David. Say, I found David, my servant, with my holy oil, I've anointed him, and so on and so forth. Gave him promise that the enemy would not examine him. He said, my faithfulness will be with him. And in his name shall my horn be exalted. And he talked to him. He said everything. Say, my mercy will I keep for him forever. His seed also. His seed. This is verse 29. Will I make to endure forever. Yeah. Why? If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my commandments and all of these things, I will visit them, but I will not destroy them because of my loving kindness. You know, to David, God will pass his mercy on to his children. Now, so sometimes when you are doing the things, you don't know the blessing that is coming. Abraham was blessed because he was a man, you know, after God. But it wasn't just he alone that was blessed because of all the things he did. You know, goodness and mercy came to his household. Because of all the things that he did. God even swore. He said, look, by myself have I sworn. This is Genesis 22 and verse 16. By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, because you have done this thing. You know, because he did not withhold his son. So God began to bless him, and he seed after that. Now, this good work that Abraham did in this case was actually a work of obedience. But whatever it was, so many things came to his lineage because of that singular act. We talk about, you know, we talk about the all the good that other people did. Let me give you some examples. Even in the New Testament, there was a woman called Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. You know, this Dorcas woman, we are told, if you read the story, Acts chapter 9 from verse 36 to 41, we are told that she, you know, some evil befell her, you know, and unfortunately, you know, she died. Right? So there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, who was by interpretation called Dorcas. She was a woman full of good works. Remember that. Good works. An alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days, this is Acts chapter 9. I'm now reading from verse 37. Came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And they washed her and laid her in an upper chamber. Now, because the place where they were was close to Joppa, which is where Peter was, they sent to Peter and desiring to come and to not delay. Well, when Peter came there, they showed her, they showed him. Here's what they said to Peter in verse 39. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing all the coats and garments which Dorcas had made for them when she was alive, all these good things that she did. And they began to say all her good works, and God remembered those good works. That woman was raised to death, I mean raised from death, from the dead to life that day. All the good works that she did came into remembrance before God. There's a book of remembrance, folks, and all the good works came into remembrance. And she was raised to death to from the dead that day. Fast forward to the next chapter, Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion, you know, of the band called the Italian band, a Roman band, I mean Roman centurion and everything. But he was a devout man who feared God with all his house. And he gave much alms to the people. And he prayed to God every day. You know, and listen to what in one day, how the Lord responded to him. In a day, some particular day, he saw a vision. You know, evidently, which means plainly. About the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, Cornelius. When he looked, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? I mean, thy prayers and thine alms. These are the good deeds. It wasn't just his prayers. Thy prayers and thy good deeds have come up for a memorial before God. And here's what God's going to do for you because of all these things that you have been doing. You know, salvation came to his house that day. People were filled with the Holy Ghost that day because he was asked to call for Peter and so forth. When Peter came, prayed for, you know, was preaching to them. Before he even prayed, Holy Ghost fell on them. They began to speak in tongues. That's the story in Acts chapter 10. This man, it was his good deeds. All the things that he did that God remembered. Does God reward good deeds? Absolutely. We've already talked about it here. You know, and should we maintain good deeds? Absolutely. We've already talked about it here. And what are the benefits of good deeds? Well, good deeds will come. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. Any good deeds that you do, you will reap either yourself or later down the generation. Somebody is going to reap it because of what you did. We've seen that story here. You know, all the good things that Jonathan did, it was Mephibosheth that reaped it later on. So, you know, these things are in the scriptures. And people forget that we must do good works. We get so religious, we get so pious, that we forget to do good works. But the good works are not going to save us. We know that. But after we are saved, we must be careful to maintain good works. We already read that today. You know, so what are we saying today? Well, this is our lesson today. Forgiveness and good works. These two things are very key. The story of forgiveness is like paying it forward. God forgave you, so you got to pay it forward and forgive somebody else. And we saw how it did not work out for this man in Matthew chapter 18 that did not do that. You know. So, we have talked about, also good works. You know, and all the things that we need to do. I mean, all the things that we do, God is remembering them. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. To give to every man according as his work shall be." Now, we are not rewarded for giving our lives to Christ. You know, no, we already gave our lives to Christ. You know, we are born by faith into his kingdom. You know, but we are rewarded for that which we do. Remember the message of do. You know, so we are rewarded for what we do for the Lord. You know, it is what we do for the Lord. Jesus was talking about it he was talking about it in John chapter 15, that there are some branches in him that are not producing good fruit. And if they are not producing fruit, Jesus said, well, they are going to be cut off. So it is important for us, those good fruits, you know, it's important for us to be doing those good fruits. If we don't do good fruits, what's going to happen? Let's consider a parable here. Just consider it. And let's see what it really means. In Matthew chapter 22. It's also in the book of Luke. But let me pick it up here in Matthew chapter 22. And let's see this parable. You know, there, after that, some people were invited to the feast. You know, let's put a little context to it. We start from verse 2 of Matthew 22. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. It's a parable. Which made a marriage for his son and sent for his servants, called them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, you know, and so on and so forth. My dinner is ready. My fatlings are made, and so on. And they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another. And then some of them even took these servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. The king therefore was wroth. He sent his armies and miserably destroyed those people. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidding were not worthy. So go to the highways, get as many as you can find," you know, and so forth. In another place, he goes deeper into that. So they went in, they found the maimed, the blind, the bad, the good, and all that. Both good and bad. They brought them in. The wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said, "Friend, how camest thou in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And then they cast him out. Now, think about that for a minute. He made it in, but yet he didn't have the right garment on. And what possibly could that mean? Well, interpretation. Now, Jesus didn't interpret this. He just said, many are chosen, few are called. Many are called, few are chosen. He did not interpret this. But one possible thing could be, this man had no good works. Even though he made it in, but he had no good works. You know, and then at the end of the day, you know, he was he was disgraced because he had nothing to show for it. So let us be careful to maintain good works. It is so important for us to maintain good works. If we do not maintain good works, and some of these good works could be forgiving others that have done aught against you, some of the hurt that you're holding on to, you got to let it loose. Now, as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, we're getting so close. This is the time. It's called the lamp trimming time. It is the time for us to get rid of all these things that can hold us down. Unforgiveness is number one. This is the number one thing that will hold us back. Because Jesus said, if you do not likewise forgive your brother every one of them their trespasses, neither will my heavenly Father forgive you. And if you are not forgiving, you're not going to make it in. So our prayer today is, Lord, help me. You know, when we pray, you know, that God should forgive our sins, we should really be praying it a different way. Because Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray that, he said, pray that our Father should forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive others their trespasses. So the prayer we should be praying each time we try to pray for God to forgive us is that, Lord, give me a heart to forgive others also. That's even more important. If you are praying for forgiveness, but you are not forgiving others, well, you know, we already read what happened to the wicked servant that didn't do that. He was handed over to the tormentors. Wow. Now that's a terrible place to be. So our prayer this morning is going to be, Lord, give me a heart that can forgive. Hallelujah. And how many times should you forgive? Well, if you can forgive that same person 490 times of what they did, then you're good. I don't know if anybody's done something to you 490 times. But Jesus said, yeah, you got to do that. Because Peter said, is 7 times enough? No. Jesus said, no. But 490 times. You got to keep doing it. Now, if I got to count 490 times that somebody has done something to me, and they keep forgiving them, well, I think I'll, you know, that's a long forgiveness. So, but the story, the point is this, forgive them no matter how long or how many times, you know, and especially because God has already forgiven us. So the grace that we have received, we must turn around and extend the same grace. But that was one lesson we brought today. Second lesson was in doing good works. How that good works that we do, the bread that we cast upon many waters, how that they come back. Whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap. And he told us to be careful to do good works, especially to those of the household of faith. But good works to every man, he said. So let's be careful to do these good works. When it is in your power to do it, don't withhold your hand. Anything you do for somebody that is that is disadvantaged, is like you are doing it to the Lord. We've read those stories today. So, Father, I pray over this room today. We have shared your word. May the power of your word enlighten our minds and take away the stony hearts from us, the heart that is hardened against forgiveness. Some people say, well, no, I can't forgive. Can you imagine? Even some believers say that. You know, that no, I can never forgive that. Yeah, well, with your own words, God said, look, as your mouth has declared, so will I do unto you. If with your own mouth you have said, I can never forgive what they do, you better repent right now. Because if God were to hold that against you, he would not be going anywhere. So let's repent. Let's ask God for a heart of forgiveness. Grace that we have received from God. we should extend that to others. Never mind, God will deal with them. You know, that's not your problem. That's not your, you know, your responsibility. It's not your jurisdiction. It's the word I'm looking for. That's God's jurisdiction. He'll deal with them. Your responsibility is to forgive them. Forgive them so you can assure yourself of God's forgiveness as well. The man who was forgiven, but turned around and did not forgive his own fellow servant who owed him a fraction of what he was forgiven of. His forgiveness was rescinded and he was thrown over to the tormentors. Now that's a dangerous place. So Father, we pray that that will not be our story. Our story will be one of forgiving one another, even as Christ Jesus has forgiven us. And may we have this heart of compassion also to do good to people. How Christ went about doing good. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, to be doing good. That men may see our good works, Jesus said. And will give glory to our Father, which is in heaven. And we know that we cannot be saved by good works. But after we are saved, we must be careful to maintain good works. Part of the good works is somebody else about the goodness of the Lord that you yourself have received as part of paying it forward. If somebody didn't tell you, you wouldn't be saved. And now that you've been saved by the grace of God, you got to share that story with somebody else. We cannot be quiet. And so, Lord, we thank you today. We pray for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to enable us to understand these things and to practice them, that we will not be hearers of the word only, but doers of the same. And we should do good to all men. Do good to your spouse. Do good to your children. Do good to people around you. Do good to your brethren. You know, because, you know, that's the nature of Christ in you. Doing good is the nature of God. Doing evil is the nature of the devil. You know, so the devil means do evil. You know, that's what devil means, do evil. You join those together, I take away the O, you see devil there. So somebody that does evil. God is good. Hallelujah. That devil does evil. So we do not want to be evil doers. We want to be good doers. I mean, let people know you as a good doer. Some people label really good people as do-gooders. But, you know, this is good stuff. It's a good testimony to have. And people know that you are always kind. They can always come to you. And you are full of good works. And we've seen what good works did for people, how it spoke for them. Even the woman that died, we saw how her good works spoke for her. And that's what they said. Look, this woman used to do these things, wash the saints' feet, did all these things. And God remembered her. We've seen how the good works of Cornelius, his alms that he did, always, how it spoke to him, for him. And the angel came to him and said, God has heard not only your prayers, but seen your good works and the alms which you give. And as much as we have opportunity, let us do good. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. As we prepare our hearts before the Lord, you know, let our hearts be tender. Here's a new covenant I will make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will take from them, I will remove from them the stony heart, the stubborn heart. I say, I will never forgive. I will remove that from them. And I will put in them a gentle heart, the heart of the Lord. It's a heart of gold. The heart that forgives is a heart of gold. May God see us as those kind of people that extend the grace that we have received from him and pay it forward to others. May the acts of kindness that we show to people, may it speak for us, even in our generations later. Your acts of kindness shall speak for you. Jonathan's act of kindness to David, much later on, spoke for Mephibosheth. Hallelujah.